when we're told no all the time because it's dangerous. Yes, we have to say no when there's danger. Absolutely. I'm not saying to avoid saying no if there's danger. What I am going to say in this episode is let's limit the dangers that there are so that we can limit the number of times we have to say no. Because here's the other thing. If you say no, 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 don't poke your fingers in there. Don't pull on that cord. Don't touch that over there. Don't touch that spray couple. If we're saying no all the time, when we need to say no, no, don't run out on that street. Mm-hmm. The no is going to have so much less impact. Hey, Mama, welcome to the Nurturing Parent Podcast. Do you want to end the constant battles for bath time? Do you find yourself emotionally exhausted at the end of the day? Do you wake up with big hopes for a smooth day of fun with your little ones, only to face an early morning meltdown because you peeled their banana the wrong way?
Silly you.
Silly you.
Hey, I'm Serena. I'm a mama of two little ones, and as a new mama, I constantly question myself. I wanted to make sure I was raising respectful kids while also building a strong bond with them. But I discovered that I had to unlearn my ideas that punishment was the way. With Amalisa's encouragement, I've been practicing a respectful and gentle parenting approach, which is strengthening our bond as a family.
And hi, I'm Amalisa. Amma means grandmother in Icelandic. I am a mama and an amma. And I have over 40 years of experience in child care and parent coaching. And I am so excited to share the knowledge I've gained over these years with you.
Together in this podcast, each week we will explore some easy to implement skills you can add to your parenting tool belt to help you create a happy, thriving family.
So hello, here we are following up like we promised from last week. Last week, we talked about no bad kids. And I told you in last week's episode, if you haven't listened to that, it's a hot number, that episode.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you mean no bad kids? And when I was writing my notes about what I wanted to talk about, I realized that it starts with childproofing your home. And today I'm going to talk to you about why childproofing our homes from before baby arrives and then shifting as baby grows into toddler, and you got a whole different level of childproofing, then older children need a whole different level of childproofing for different kinds of things. Think about medicine in the medicine cabinet for the older children, right? But for now, I want to talk about baby proofing our homes and how that sets us up to be successful nurturing parents.
Yes. Right? And I don't want to scare you mamas who think that you already have your home baby proofed, and because Alma's going to bring it to you with a good perspective of the importance of it. And I thought my house was basically pretty much kind of baby proofed, but Alma gave it to me, like the importance and how I really need to... Nice. And how it's going to help. So it's going to be an exciting episode. So don't feel like if you're already baby proof that you need to skip it.
Oh, that's a great point.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's levels of baby proofing, and I'm going to give you the big level and all the reasons why. And if you haven't baby proofed yet, don't feel bad. Don't feel guilty. Just get on and do it because mm-hmm. it's important. Now, I just wanted to say at the beginning to say that some people, and I find this with parents who become parents a little bit later in their lives. They've had more time to be adults by themselves without little ones. But different kinds of people have this response where they're like, having a baby isn't going to change my life. I hope you're all laughing. And other people who become parents, they have little or no experience around babies and toddlers. So they don't really know what it's going to be like at all. And so what does baby proofing even mean? So that's what I wanted to just start with, that kind of foundation. And then I wanted to go to bring you into a child's world and to point out why this is important as nurturing parents, that we take these steps and baby-proof and toddler-proof our homes. And that is, I'm going to get you to close your eyes and imagine you're walking into a brand new room. Maybe it's a castle and you're there for the first time and you want to go explore every nook and cranny and you want to poke your fingers into everything you can find and you want to touch things and you want to smell things. You might want to taste things. Like, you just want to explore this new space, right?
Mm-hmm.
And somebody, maybe it's the guide for the castle that you're visiting, they say, no, don't touch that. No, no, can't touch. No touching. No touch. I told you not to touch anything. Stop touching.
Mm.
Right. Now, how do you feel? How do you feel?
Yeah. That's
so
how I feel.
Little anger. Do I hear anger?
Mm-hmm.
Little frustration.
Yeah.
Little right. Resentment that here you're in this beautiful new space that you get to explore and they're not letting you explore.
Or you're just not listening to the no and you're going to keep going.
Yeah. And then you're going to get harder and harder no's and it's going to get, yeah, right?
Uh-huh.
So that's what I wanted to just get you, mamas, parents, to imagine. How does that feel? When we're told no all the time because it's dangerous. Yes, we have to say no when there's danger. Absolutely. I'm not saying to avoid saying no if there's danger. What I am going to say in this episode is let's limit the dangers that there are so that we can limit the number of times we have to say no. Because here's the other thing. If you say no, 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 don't poke your fingers in there. Don't pull on that cord. Don't touch that over there. Don't touch that spray couple. If we're saying no all the time, when we need to say no, no, don't run out on that street.
Mm-hmm.
The no is going to have so much less impact. If we use that word over and over and over, we deplete its importance and its, you know, kind of reactive that they are going to listen to, right?
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that happens when we say no so much is, and you might have noticed that in the little role play, I got you to close your eyes and just feel that feeling of going into that new place and being told no. You're curious. You as a baby or a toddler, your toddlers and babies are curious. They're learning about the world every second of every day. They want to touch things. They want to explore. And exploring and touching and, you know, being curious is a huge way that they learn, right? So when we say no, we're curbing their curiosity. We are depleting their enthusiasm for life in general. If you're told no, no, no all the time, you just sort of start giving up, right?
Mm-hmm.
It can damage their self-esteem. And like Serena modeled for us, it can cause frustration. And if it happens, you know, a little more often, you can build resentment. You can get really resentful about this person who keeps telling you, and you just want to go check it out, mm-hmm. right? So those are some of the emotional sort of reasons why it's important to not have to say no all the time. And when children are exploring and when they're following that curiosity, that urge to explore, they're developing new abilities. They're developing physically when they're crawling and grabbing and poking, right? When they're pulling on things or pushing on things, they're developing new abilities and their bodies need and crave development. And that's what they're going to do. They're going to find some way of doing that. So the other piece of being a nurturing parent, you know, aside from we don't want to curb their curiosity, we don't want to deplete their enthusiasm or damage their self-esteem or cause resentment and frustration. We want, as nurturing parents, to set our children up for success. And this baby-proofing is the bottom floor. Their curiosity leads them to constantly learn new things. They learn by moving their bodies. They learn by testing out their new abilities. They learn by touching, like infants. You'll see a very young infant start to touch every surface they come into contact with. And those little fingers might just rub that Chesterfield, that couch surface. And then if they're on the floor, they might just rub that surface. And they're learning. This is the brain is, you remember I said, three times the development. Yeah. Of its size, it grows three times its size in the first 3 years. That's phenomenal. when they're testing their new physical abilities, as they're learning to creep across the floor, they're learning to crawl, they're learning to climb stairs, they're learning to stand, they're learning to walk, all those new abilities that they learn, they're learning how their bodies work, and they are driven. It's just an intrinsic need to keep going, right? To keep learning that next thing. We don't have to teach a baby how to crawl. Babies crawl. It's just, you know, a typically developing baby will crawl. When it's ready to crawl, it will crawl. So those are some of the reasons why we need to baby-proof and child-proof. One of the things I like to say is if you're just having your first baby, I encourage you to do some of this baby proofing before baby comes along, because they're not going to need it immediately, because they're not going to be going anywhere off your body or off their bed or whatever. But they are going to be very soon, and you're going to be extremely busy and you're going to be tired. So do a little bit now if you're just waiting for baby to arrive. And if you've got your babies and your toddlers already, let's dive into the list of what to do for baby proofing. The number one reason, aside from all of what I've just given you in the emotional realm of why we do it, the number one reason why we baby proof is safety. One of the statistics that I read, and they were years old, I couldn't find any current lists. If you're able to find them, let me know. But I think this was in 2017 or something, long time ago. 9.2 million kids visit the ER every year in America because of unintentional accidents that happen at home.
Wow.
9.2 million.
Wow.
Her children and babies. Okay. So that's just to get your attention. And you know what, you guys, this is going to be a little bit heavy sometimes because there are unintentional injuries, and the number one cause of deaths in young children is accidents at home. Unintentional accidents. And that's because they spend most of their time at home. So that's where their accidents happen. So it's tough. Another statistic that I wrote down says more than 10,000 a day in the year 2015 were visiting the ER in the US.
That's 10,000
kids a day, right?
Yeah.
So let's alleviate that from all of our homes as much as we possibly can. So let's see. Mama Serena, what have you got in the way of baby and toddler proofing? You're one of the lucky ones. You have a baby crawling and a toddler bopping around. Have you got anything in place that you think is your baby proofing stuff? She's giggling away.
I have outlet covers.
Great. Good, because that's my number one thing I'm going to talk about.
And that's about it. Yeah.
Okay. Perfect. Then you are going to learn a lot today. And
yes.
I want to find out next week what you actually have gotten done between now and then. Okay. Outlet covers, everybody. They're the plastic little things that go into the plug-in so that that tiny baby cannot poke its fingers in there or poke anything else in there, right? Like you can't poke a knife or a stick or, you know, a toy. Mm-hmm. They can electrocute themselves, you guys. It's really important.
And can I just say about that? Because, when my first was very tiny, my husband had mentioned that and I was like, How is an outlet even dangerous? Like, she's not gonna grab a knife and stick it in there and then get electrocuted. And I'm not very precautious.
Mm-hmm.
If you hurt yourself, you know, rub dirt on it and toughen up. And so,
yeah.
But sometimes in my head, if I see my daughter crawling, like I just imagine the worst thing that can happen to her. But I'm like, I'm right here watching her. But just if I turn for a second and something happens, like I know I would regret it so bad. And that's what I've had to learn is that maybe it's not going to happen, but if it did, I would regret it so bad. And I never want to regret anything with my kids about their safety.
Yes.
And so
And
that has
if there
changed.
are simple things, sorry to jump on you. I jump in on you there. If there are such simple things that we can do that can alleviate, I've got a list of, oh my gosh, how many? 12, 13 different things that we can do around the house that involve lots of different things each one. If we can do those things that are simple, like we do turn our backs on our children and our babies. We shouldn't be have our eyes glued to them every minute. And we need to know that that environment is safe.
Yeah.
So that they are not. And maybe your baby wasn't the type of baby who would pick up a toy and poke, try and poke it into that hole. A lot of babies would. It's fun poking things in holes. It's really fun for babies to poke things in holes, right?
Yeah.
It is. And we don't know when our babies, like when your second one now is crawling, just recently started to crawl, you don't know what kind of personality she has. Maybe your first one didn't stick things in holes, but maybe your second
this
one
one
would.
Is all over the outlets, all
Right?
over them.
There you go, mama. There you
Yeah.
go.
Yes.
And the thing about baby proofing and toddler proofing before, we want to preempt their development. You don't want to wait until the baby is crawling up the stairs to put the stair gate on. You want to have the stair gate on as soon as that baby is scooching around the floor, because even a scooching baby might try and crawl up those stairs.
Yes, I did put the stair gate. That is something I have, and I did that last week.
After we had our initial conversation.
The stair gate is up.
Okay, you need one on the bottom of the stairs, and you need one on the top of the stairs.
Yeah, we got one on the top right now, so
okay.
We'll get the other one there.
Yeah, because so now that we're on the stair gate, so at that crawling baby or even a scooching baby is going to try to pull themselves up. So many head and neck injuries happen from babies scooching up, crawling up, and it's a little bit beyond what they're able to safely do. And they're crawling up the stairs and they're turning to see what, look at the exciting thing that they did. And they're getting all excited and they're falling down, and head and neck injuries and death sometimes happen. So baby gates at the top and bottom of your stairs, please. If your babies are ever on either of those floors, have your baby gates, have them safety locked. Now I want to talk about loose cords, lamps, tall standing lamps. They want to be tucked in behind furniture. If a baby starts pulling themselves up on the lamp, what happens? The lamp crashes down on top of them. Cords that are dangling off your computer station, charge cords for your phones or your tablets or whatever. A cord is so fun to grab and pull. If there's something like a computer or a tablet or something heavy, it's going to come down on baby's head or their body, right? Also, charge cords and other cords can be strangulation problems. That's a danger. Even the cords that pull up Venetian blinds, they recommend tying them up so that they're up high and the babies can't reach them.
Yeah.
Or preferably having cordless blinds of some
Yes.
kind. So all those kinds of things. And there are also, for the cover outlets themselves, there are something called plug covers that you can purchase that go over a plug that's got an outlet that's got things plugged into it. So they can't be pulling those cords out and putting them, trying to put them back in.
That's good to know.
Okay. Yeah, plug covers, okay? This one just gets me a little bit. Oh, the baby. I'm worried about the babies. I don't know if anybody irons these days. I think some people still iron, but ironing boards are really topply. If you have an iron on the top of an ironing board that's plugged in or the cord is dangling. Okay, you guys, hair dryers, curling irons, straighteners, unplug them as soon as you're not using them. Or if you step away, unplug those hot things and make sure your cords way up on the counter, way out of reach. If that toddler is just barely able to reach the edge of the counter now, those things got to be way in the back of the counter. Don't have it anywhere close to where they can reach. If a hot thing or a heavy thing like countertop appliances, if any of those get pulled on, and maybe they're not strong enough, you think, to pull something really heavy, but if they pull on the cord and then they topple over sideways, their whole body weight is going to pull that heavy thing off the counter. And it can cause crushing injuries. For the hot things, it could cause burning injuries, all those kinds of things, right? So get those cords out of the way. Oh, it's hard. It's really hard.
Yeah, it's making me queasy, all of this.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. And also, don't leave your chargers plugged in where they can reach them, because if they take the end of that charger and just kind of put it in their mouth, because, you know, a lot of babies, they learn a lot through the touch, and the taste in the mouth is a big learning space for infants. And, you know, imagine putting that charger in your mouth and having, you know, that water liquid charges electricity, like, right? You guys, I'll tell you kind of a funny, kind of crazy story about my grandfather. He was very old school and pretty kind of rough and tumble kind of guy. He was born in 1893. So, you know, a few generations back. He'd go to change a light bulb because a light bulb would be burned out. And he'd say, "Let me just see if it's good up there." And he'd lick his finger. And he would touch the open socket. And I saw him as a little girl. He'd go, "Oh, yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one." So electricity and saliva don't go well together. And
that was my God.
Story just to break up the intensity of this. Yeah. I mean, a little cray cray. But, you know, he survived. But our babies might not. Yeah. Our babies might not. Right? So I just had to lighten it up just for a moment.
Thanks for that.
Yeah. Okay. Also, if anybody has tablecloths, you need to get rid of the tablecloths when you have crawling babies and toddlers. If they're running by, the toddlers are running by and it catches on them. If a crawling baby reaches up and grabs it because it's fun to grab, anything that's on top of that table is going to come down on baby. And even just to start with, if you have breakable things, if you have knickknacks, if you have things that are special and you hold them dear, you might want to consider packing a few of them away in a box and putting them in a closet until your babies are up around preschool age, depending on what those items are. But please at least lift knickknacks and special things and up onto high shelves or high surfaces so that you're not having to, you know, stop them from exploring those things. And another obvious one, and you talked about this last week, Serena, with me privately, is the having a toddler and a crawler is like the toddler's got all these little tiny toys that they're no longer putting in their mouth, but the crawler is still putting everything in their mouth. So you really have to be careful that crawling baby is not near any of those chokeable toys.
Yeah.
Okay. Hot cups of coffee and tea. Bear in mind that those can seriously burn babies up to 15 minutes after you've poured it in your cup. It might not taste scalding hot to you anymore, but it can seriously burn their very delicate, you know, babies don't have that hard skin that we've developed over a lifetime yet, right? Their skin is very easily hurt.
Yeah. And my daughter, whenever I'm trying to drink my coffee in the morning and I usually have her in my arms, she straight for the mug,
right.
for the mug. Right. We've been so close so many times. No, she has knocked some over, but they're like freezing cold because my coffee is usually freezing cold by the time I drink it.
Well, thank goodness. Thank goodness.
Because
I actually know a baby in my life who recently pulled, and her parents are so careful. Mm-hmm. And you guys, these accidents do happen. It doesn't make you a bad parent. But what we're trying to do here today is let's lessen
prevent
the possibility of these things happening. Yeah. Prevention. But yeah, so she'd been in the burn unit, like it was bad, just from a bit of coffee coming down on her. Yeah. All right. So then kitchen cupboards. Let's look at the kitchen cupboards. Anything that's breakable, you want to put them in upper cupboards. It's a little bit not how we might normally have our kitchen layout. You know, you might have your mixing bowls in a low cupboard, but if you've got ceramic mixing bowls, they want to be in an upper cupboard now. You can have your pots and pans in your lower cupboard, your Tupperwares, you know, the children's dishes. If you've got bamboo or stainless steel or Tupperware, silicone or any of those things that are not breakable. And you want to set it up so that the children aren't completely locked out of everywhere,
mm-hmm.
right? You want them to be able to open the kitchen cupboards and see what's there and maybe pull those things out and play with them. When my daughter was a crawling baby, we didn't have kitchen cupboard doors yet because we had done a renovation and hadn't finished it. And so there was one cupboard that had the pots and pans, and she would pull them all out and then she would climb into the cupboard and sit there. And then she'd climb out and she'd put them all back in and then she'd do it again. And that kept her occupied for a really long time. So if you can have a few things like that, that you're okay with them just playing with and just doing their thing, pulling them in, pulling them out, you know, all that kind of thing is good for babies. Just make sure they're not ones that can cause harm. So the other thing that sometimes people keep under their kitchen sink quite often are cleaning products. Unless you're using extremely environmentally friendly cleaning products, and even then, some can be very dangerous, but most cleaning products are extremely toxic. Some of them can kill a baby. Some of them can cause, like bleach, terrible wounds on their skin. Your cleaning products before you have your baby, and now if you haven't done it yet, need to be up high in a cupboard. You told me you have that too, Serena. You've got them up high in a cupboard.
Yes, I do.
If you don't have a cupboard space that you can use or, you know, up high, you can get baby locks for your cupboard doors, but there's always a possibility that someone's not going to latch that lock properly. So the most safety is up high. And if you have a utility room, washing room, whatever, you know, laundry room, again, do not keep your laundry, anything. Or any cleaning products down low. Poisonings are, let me see, 84,000 poison exposures every year for children in the U.S. In the U.S. alone. That's just one country. It's a lot of people, but it's just one country. Your stovetop, you know, and you do this too, Serena. You know that you need to put your pot handles facing into the stove, not facing out where a toddler might grab it and pull or bump into it and knock it down. If you have knobs on the front of your stove, like some stoves do still, there are knob covers that a child can't turn. You know, you don't want those knobs being turned on accidentally.
Mm-mm.
And, you know, something heating up or causing a fire or a burn. And they do say, you know, if you're cooking something on the stove, don't leave a cooking pot unattended with your babies in the room, especially if there's a stove and you've got to get out of there for whatever reason. You got to go quick run to the bathroom because baby just puked, whatever it is. Take children with you out of that room. Turn off that element for a couple of minutes until you can get back.
Yeah, okay? Because also as moms, sometimes we just forget and you ran to the bathroom and then your baby exploded in their pants and then you run to go change their diapers and then you're like, oh, I need to call my friend. And then you call your friend and then you're, oh, all the water in my eggs that I was boiling is gone.
Oh, I know. And I gotta tell you, that is danger for house fire too. Okay, let's go into the bathroom. In the bathroom, you, first of all, your hot water heater, you need to set it to below 120 degrees Fahrenheit on the dial on the hot water heater so that the water coming out of your tap is not scalding hot. You never, ever, 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 ever want to leave a child unattended in the bath. Never. A child can drown in 2 inches of water. There's so much about the bathroom. Some people just say lock the door. You can put an exterior lock on the door. But then if you've got a child that's going to be like a big kid that's going to be, you know, bugging you and can reach the lock for the that the baby can't reach, then you might get locked into your bathroom. So there's also doorknob covers that takes an adult or an older child's ability to open that door. Because toilets are also very dangerous. There's a big bunch of water in there. And if a baby tips over head first, we have a big problem. Also, the seat of the toilet is very heavy. If you have a ceramic toilet, that can cause a wound, a head wound, really badly. So toilets, I mean, bathrooms are just not a good place for children to be in by themselves. Children. And back to the bathtub, you know, get one of those seats that a baby, a toddler or a crawler baby can sit and it helps them to sit up, but don't ever leave them there. You're right there. You're within arm's reach. Okay. And then definitely have a non-slip mat on the tub bottom too. Or if you're in a shower on the shower bottom, make sure it's not slippery. Head injuries also happen a lot in the bathroom with slipping and falling. And there are covers that you can get for faucets or taps as well. So those are all important. And I'm skimming over these and you guys, because there's just so much. And you might want to go in and just research some of this on your own and make sure you're covering all the bases that you can cover. Around the corner of sharp furniture. So now coming back out of the bathroom, maybe there's coffee tables or countertops. In my house, I used to have bricks around the fireplace and they had sharp corners and you want to get little felt corner bumpers. And you can get them at any homeware stores. So that's an important one. Another area is medications. Making sure all the medications that you use or anybody in your household use is out of reach. Even aspirin, Tylenol, you know, whatever it is you take for a headache, you keep it in your purse had better be out of reach.
The melatonin.
The melatonin, any of it. Vitamins, a lot of vitamins can be very toxic. A lot of essential oils are toxic for children and babies. So just do your homework and be aware and keep things out of their reach. And then the other thing, and I'll just end with this one, I think, is the furniture. Make sure that any shelves, freestanding shelves, are actually bolted down to the wall. I saw an image of a baby change table. I don't recommend change tables. You can change your babies on your beds, but if you have a change table or a child's dresser or your dresser, pulling out those drawers and using them as stairs is really fun for a toddler. And it's not fun at all when that big, heavy piece of furniture falls on that baby. So, you know, secure those to the wall, anchor them to the wall. You can get little anchor brackets really easily from anywhere that's a hardware store. Okay. And just really quickly, I wanted to bring up, I want you to look up gun safety in your area. If you have guns in your country where you live, like the US does, gun safety is extremely important. We don't have the kind of gun ownership in Canada like you do. So I don't know much about that where you are, but I want you guys to look that up and keep your guns safe if you have to have a gun. I don't like guns. Baby walkers. The last one I'm going to talk about. You know those walkers that you put a baby in and they have wheels? Extremely dangerous. They've been banned in Canada for, I don't know, I can't remember, at least a decade. The American Pediatrics Association has been trying to ban them for years and years and years because pediatric doctors have to treat severe injuries and end up in deaths sometimes from babies being in walkers. One thing is they'll come to up to a stairway that doesn't have a gate across and down they go. That could kill a child. Then, you know, just that, right? I know. And if you don't have stairs, you still don't get to have a walker because it gets a baby whose babies don't need to be walking around, quote unquote, when they're not able to walk yet. It doesn't help their development in any way. That's been studied and proven. And in fact, it can lessen their development. It can impair their development. And so they're up a little higher than they should be. Their cognitive development, their brain, their thinking ability is developing as their physical development is happening. So a baby who can't reach the stovetop doesn't know that it's hot up there. A toddler who can reach the stovetop might have been told hot when they go close to the stove. So they're starting to get some cognitive awareness there. But, you know, a baby who's 6 months old doesn't know what hot is. They're going to come over. They're now going to be able to reach that stovetop and they're going to get a burn or they're going to knock something down on themselves, right? So please throw them in the garbage dump. Don't give them to a thrift store. I don't want anybody else's baby to have them either.
Yeah, I gotta throw mine out. She doesn't go in it, but I have one.
Yeah, please throw it away. And the last thing I'll say is make sure you have smoke detectors everywhere where you should have them and make sure they are working and their batteries are up to date. I had a house fire. It could have been a lot worse. And it was really traumatic. And I'm still not home 23 months later. So please make sure your smoke detectors are in good working order. So that was heavy.
Yeah. Thanks for scaring all of us, Emma.
I know.
No,
I
but
hope it's a good fear.
No, it is a good fear. And it's something that we all need to be reminded of because sometimes we're like, that's not going to happen to our kid. And until it does happen to our kid. And like I said, you never want to regret it because I don't know if other moms, but I get these images in my head sometimes of my kids just like falling straight on their head. And it's scary. And it's us reminding ourselves they can hurt themselves. So let's be as careful as we can. We're not going to be helicopter parents because we're trying to keep our kids safe.
Yeah.
We're just.
Yeah. You can have free range kids.
Yeah.
And have your home set up for safety.
Mm-hmm.
And it allows you to be more free range because you don't have to be hovering over
them.
Right?
Exactly.
That's where the nurturing part comes in. You can allow them to explore freely, to grow in their developmental ways that they're ready to grow in. And you can feel, you know, like it's safe to do
so. At ease, yeah.
Yeah, at ease. Okay, love you. Sorry, that was longer, but it was so important. All right. Bye.
Okay, I hope we didn't scare you too much, but we hope it just serves as a good reminder, or if you learn something new, we want to set our kids up for success at home, and we can do this by preventing any injuries and any dangers, and also that we're constantly saying no to them. So we want to allow them to explore and be curious, and we don't want to have to intervene every time they want to get into something new. We want to allow them to explore the space safely. So here are the many ways we can set them up for success. And good luck, mamas.
Hey, mama.
Thank you for being here with us.
Okay, how cute was that? Thanks for being here with us. Hit subscribe to get notified.
And hey, did you get anything out of this episode? I know I did. Show some love and send it to your mama friends to bless their day too.
And before you run and change that diaper, take 5 seconds and leave us a review saying how much you love us. You'll be helping other mamas find us. Did you know that? And hopefully find answers to the questions that are keeping them awake at night.
And if you screenshot your review and DM it to us, you will be entered to win a 1-hour coaching call at a discounted price with Amalisa.
I can't wait to chat with you. Come hang out with us in our Facebook group or on Instagram. Just click the links in the show notes and you can direct message us anytime. We would love to chat with you.
We also have a Buy Me a Coffee option for a fun way that you can support this podcast for just as much as you care to give. Just click the show support link in our show notes. Thank you.
Thank you.
See you next week.